And Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judah, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and hearken to my words. These are not joking as they suppose, seeing that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of the prophet Joel. He says, shall come to pass in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Hallelujah. So yesterday, we began saying that Peter was explaining their experience. Something happened in Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verses 1 to 4. He was explaining that experience, and he said, "This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel." Hallelujah. So we said, when he said spoken by the prophet, the word prophet there was is a shorthand for Genesis down to Malachi. I showed you that. Hallelujah. It's a shorthand for Genesis down to Malachi. And I showed us, or we saw together, that they were reading, they had the Bible. Hallelujah. They had the Bible. Nobody was speaking from his head. They had the Bible. And they learned that from Jesus. That Jesus too had the Bible. Hallelujah. Jesus is the one became flesh. But yes, he still had to subject himself to the scriptures. Hallelujah. Amen. In John 5:39, he told them, "You search the scriptures." What is scriptures? Genesis down to Malachi. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were not written then. He said, "You search the scriptures, and then you think you have eternal life." Hallelujah. He said, "But these are they." What? The scriptures are they which testify of me. "But you will not come to me that you might have life." Verse 45, he now said, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father." He said, "There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." He said, "If you have believed Moses, say you will have believed me, for he wrote concerning me." Did you see that? So that means Jesus read from Moses. Therefore, we said, I'm just going to do a little recap and then I'll tell you what I have for you today. Now, meaning, for you to say that Moses is God, like some people say, Moses is God, is not scriptural. So you say, Moses is God. And when they tell you Moses is God, they're telling you the Old Testament is done away with. No. No. Jesus read from the Old Testament books. Hallelujah. He read from Genesis down to Malachi. So, you know, that is an easy way for people to dismiss the Old Testament book, because when they read some parts, they can't even understand it. It's laziness. Hallelujah. It's God. Because they've not given themselves to diligent study. Hallelujah. Amen. The apostles read from Moses. They read from Joel. Hallelujah. The same Joel that people say is God, it was from Joel that Peter explained their experience. In Acts 28:23, the Bible says that Paul also taught from Moses. So you cannot say he is God. It's heresy. Many times people get deceived by that's why you have been taught God's word. There's nothing else. When you are taught God's word, the way you are being taught in church, right? You would know that there's a difference between good oratory and Bible explanation. Many times, many people run and think someone having good oratory is teaching God the word. Hallelujah. But you might be wrong sometimes. Hallelujah. Amen. And that doesn't then mean that because somebody doesn't have good oratory, they're explaining the Bible well. So I'm trying to tell you, oratory, whether good or bad, is not proper explanation of scriptures, right? Scriptures ought to be explained the way scriptures ought to be explained. Hallelujah. So I showed us that Bible study involves work. Is work. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Study to show yourself approved." He said, "A workman, exactly, a toiler." So Bible study is labor. Okay, you know, it's labor. It's labor. He said, "A workman, I need not be ashamed." He said, "Rightly dividing the words of truth." The Greek word there makes you see how you should handle Bible truth. That he uses the word ototomio logon aletheia. That word there means carefulness. So there's a carefulness that comes with Bible study. You don't rush into conclusions. You don't jump. You don't know. Some people, you can't even do that with your school book. Why do it with your Bible? I know some people, you know, they are going to say, you can't do that with your school book. And they'll say, yes, I may send that. But some people say, yeah, my school book. And I use key point to pass. And I use key point. Give us AOC. Area of concentration. Area of concentration. Where would the question come out from? That's funny. I shared an example of math yesterday. Let me share another example. Another one that people do very well. Biology practical. Practical has come out before the practical. You are not learning to draw fish and label the part of fish. Come on. AOC. They say this is what, this one will come out in practical. It's not only practical. Amen. I remember using one night to climb out to draw fish, flower, animal cell, plant cell. When it comes to drawing, just forget it. I will fail. Just, if you're going to draw, I say, forget it. I know it is not. Me that they told me to draw, they told me to draw table. I had entered the table lab format. I went to draw table. So, leave me a drawing one time. Yeah. Some people just want to look for AOC. Area of concentration. You know it lives here. And that someone comes from youth, raising youth. But not us, not me. Hallelujah. But Bible study doesn't, it requires diligent study. Diligent. So they, when I was just eating the seed, the word just dropped for today. Yeah, he just said, Pastor wants to teach us. He got the word when he was eating the seed, was drinking tea. Hey! I expash! My dear, some of us go home. I don't understand. The word just dropped. The teaching, the whole teaching for the day. Just drop. Bah! See? Come on now. Come on now. So what is the word? This week is your week. Hallelujah. Amen. It involves diligent study. Diligent study. And Jesus showed us from Matthew 19. Matthew 19, he met the Pharisees and he came meeting him. They came to meet him asking him questions after that divorce. He said, shall a man put away his wife when he comes? They were reading the Talmud. And Jesus said, have you not read? Now, use that word, have you not read? Anagenosko. Anagenosko is used for to read well, to pay attention to details. Now, which details were they missing? He said, he that made them at the beginning, made them male and female. He took them down to Genesis 1. Hallelujah. In telling them that before you get to Deuteronomy, have you not seen how God made them? In Genesis. Hallelujah. In Genesis, he made them male and female. What was Jesus answering them? He was going into the core of their culture, patriarchal culture, which saying that a man can have 10 wives, but the woman, when she commits adultery, a man can commit adultery, but when the woman commits adultery, she is stoned to death. Did you see that? He said, no. In the beginning, they were made male and female in God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So in God's image, you find man and woman equal. That's what he's telling them. Hallelujah. He made them male and female. In God's perfect marriage, that's what he's telling them. Genesis 1 is God's perfect marriage. What is God's perfect marriage? It's not between man and woman. No. God's perfect marriage is between God and the church. God and his and God and man, rather. Hallelujah. So he said, in God's marriage, you find male and female equal in him. Hallelujah. Then he came back and asked him a question in verse 6. So then, why did Moses... Okay, before that, he now said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, I told you there, that word, let no man, as they say in marriage... ceremony. But let no man put aside. It's actually not let no man put aside. I said let nothing put asunder. Let nothing. And that nothing there is not referring to man. Though man can be inclusive, but he's referring to what Paul later on in Romans chapter 8 will now say, what can separate us from the love of God? Did you see that? Not sin, not death, nothing in this world. Hallelujah. So he said, what God has joined together, let nothing, not let no man, anthropos, no. It was not anthropos that is there, but rather let nothing put asunder. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what has God joined together, man and woman, or God and himself? I mean God and man. God and man. So in God's perfect marriage, nothing can put asunder. That is why salvation is eternal. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Then he now asked, he said, then why did Moses then give, now, I mean, what did Moses then say, you should give I beloved divorcement, Matthew 19:6, and put I away? Jesus now said, Jesus replied, and he said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Do you see that? At first he said, as you all read at the beginning, many times when using scriptures, it's used for Genesis. Did you see that? It's used for Genesis. So he said, first of all, he took them to Genesis. They came back again. Okay, what about this in Deuteronomy again? They all said, no. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Hardness of the heart there, it numbers. So he's telling them, before you get to Deuteronomy, have you not seen numbers? Did you see that? Numbers is unbelief. Numbers is in the world. Unbelief. Hardness of heart, stereocardia. Hallelujah. He says, first of all, you have to see this is God's perfect plan in Genesis. Man rejected it in numbers, then there is a Deuteronomos. That is Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos, second law. So you cannot find God permissiveness. Did you see that? So the reason why Moses did this is because of your sin and unbelief. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Therefore, for you to understand Bible truth, you have to read Bible together. You can't jump from in your textbook of 18 chapters for an exam and you are reading chapter 15, 16, 17, 18. You will fail. Then go to read everything. Hallelujah. You read everything. Glory to God. So therefore, it's very important for a believer to read scriptures together. Hallelujah. And that's what we are helping you do in church. Amen. To learn to see our pray scriptures together. Read it together. Hallelujah. So we said, even when it comes to the birth and even when it comes to the incarnation of Jesus, the disciples didn't just write any story. They wrote it as scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Matthew will say the genesis of Jesus, the son of David, the son of God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that means you cannot be detached from where? The 39 books. Therefore, you cannot be detached from the Old Testament books also. Now, therefore, we said words used in the New Testament books will have its origin where? The Old Testament, because that's where they were reading from. Right? Was that what we said? So we began looking at the word yesterday, last days. When Peter said, it shall come to pass in the last days. And we say last days there is not referring to rapture or end of the world. In our day today, it will be wrong. Hallelujah. It's the same way too. You have to subject yourself to their words. You cannot read Bible words with today's language. That's not what Pastor Shem will say. He will say, the words are not English as you think. Hallelujah. Because these are words written thousands of years ago. So you cannot give me today's language. How? How? If not, you'll be like the guy, I'll still say it again today, who said he knows who Paul's father is and he called it revelation. Remember the kind of revelation you get when you are drinking tea and trying to understand Bible from tea. Amen? Say, you are not who Paul's father is. Paul said, my old man. Who is Paul? Who is your old man? My old man is my dad. I've never called my father old man. I don't know. So maybe that's why I can't have that kind of revelation. Amen? The Paul's old man is Paul's father, the one that was crucified with Christ. How?
You have to go back to Paul's world to see how old man was used.
Hallelujah.
How is old man used? Old man is used for who? Old nature. Simple. We're going to refer to his father.
But when you try to give words and scriptures today's meaning, you will miss it.
We saw that word yesterday. We saw the word hate.
You can't give that word hate today's meaning.
No! Hate in scriptures many times is not used for, shouldn't be given today's meaning hate.
No.
Actually, hate, I mean hate there, we saw it means to prefer less. Right? It doesn't mean to have hatred like we have today, but it just means to prefer less. It's used for preference.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So you have to subject words to their word.
Amen.
The same way too, if I'm to write a book for Nigerian Air Force Base, Nigerian Air Force Base, Samethnan Base, and I want to write a book for them to read, there are some words I will use that will be specific to that place.
Hallelujah.
That if you want to understand it and you have never lived there, you have to go there and sit down and,
okay.
Amen? Amen? Maybe a writer will now say things like, Makoa.
Say, what's Makoa?
Amen?
You have to understand from there.
Makajia.
What's Makajia?
Some people know me. You have to be there.
You say, and as I was walking towards Pintos,
what's Pintos? It's a Greek word.
Amen.
You just have to go back there.
That's how words
are. You cannot give it.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Okay. For some of you, some people will not know this one now.
Some of you have been hearing me call Hawawu.
You know who is Hawawu?
If I'm the right about Hawawu on this,
you know the people that were there years back that know who Hawawu is.
Amen.
You guys who don't know.
I said, Hawawu.
I was fighting.
So who is Hawawu?
You'll be thinking it's the Hawa that stays in your blood.
Oh, no.
Amen. So that means for you to understand what I'm writing, either you have to go back to.
Amen.
I'm going to answer. It used to be. Okay. Let me just say some other.
Like, I won't be sounding as though I'm old.
It's just that some of you were locked inside the house like I was you.
Amen.
But you have to subject words to those words.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hope you are following me.
You want to understand some people. Okay.
Sister Debbie.
What the Debbie that attended one international local school like that?
Sister Debbie from Canada.
From diaspora.
Amen.
Do you know what is Orile? Who they call Orile? You don't know Orile?
Okay.
Now imagine I wrote a book and I write and I wrote that and Garuba fought it Orile.
You have to ask yourself, what is the Orile?
Amen.
Amen.
Disconnected again.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
So you have to subject yourself to words.
Therefore,
we're not saying when you hear last days, it would be wrong for you to think last days is the end of the world.
In fact, one big blow you would see there is that Peter was explaining what just happened and he called it last days.
Did you see that?
If you read Hebrews chapter 1,
from verse 1,
it said, God, who at sundry times and diverse manner spoke in time past through the prophets, but as in these last days spoken to us through his Son.
Now, he referred to the incarnation as last days.
Do you see that?
Is it like it doesn't the end of the world?
No.
He referred to the incarnation as last days. Therefore, we have to know what is last days.
Hallelujah.
I was all that yesterday.
Hallelujah.
But let me take us back again I wouldn't take us to Joel, where we saw what last days was. But I will take us back again to, we say last days will be found in Moses, right? Be found in Moses. So we saw from Joel, last days to be the coming of the Lord. Listen, Joel, where Peter is reading for, called last days the Lord's coming. We say, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is rapture. No! The Lord's coming is what he called last days. And he was reading from who? He's reading from Genesis. Say, Lord's day is judgment day. No. Amen. We saw from Genesis where he said the Lord's day means the visit, the Lord's visit, right? He's used for the last day. And so when God visits, it's for salvation. God's visit is not for judgment, it's for salvation. Mark what I'm telling you today. Because next year, I'll show you some other things. Hallelujah. It's for salvation. God visited for salvation. He visited Sarah and Sarah conceived. What are you following me? He visited Sarah and Sarah conceived. He visited the iniquities of the father upon this children. What is the iniquity is that, what is the iniquity that he visits? Is it to destroy them or to forgive them? Thank you. So you were there, you were here in church yesterday. So let's go ahead. Let's see something. Now we said that what last days will find its roots in Genesis. Moses will not give 7 days. Why am I taking all this long? 7 days. And we looked at the seventh day to be the Sabbath day, right? God ended his work in chapter 2, Genesis 2. He said the heavens and the earth were finished. And we saw what it means, right? Heaven and earth, heaven, God wasn't, Moses wasn't writing about God's creation of matter, no. But writing what is more spiritual. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Heaven, heaven there is used for God. Earth is used for man. He now showed you in verse 2 that the earth was without form and void. The earth without the heaven is darkness. And in chapter 2, verse 16, he says it's not good for the earth to be alone. You hear that? Now, what have I done? I've taken man away and I've replaced it with earth. It's not good for the earth to be alone. I will make for him a helpmeet. So, who is the helpmeet? The heaven. You hear that? Hallelujah. Amen. So he now says, now it is finished. So the heaven and the earth were finished. Heaven and earth together. Right? Heaven and earth together. God and man. Right? Right? When did he finish? Seventh day. Salvation. Union. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Amen. Look at verse 2. And on the seventh day he ended his work, which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. He rested. Sabbath. Sabbath there means to cease work. Cease work. So when, now take notes. Listen to me now. Moses was writing Genesis. Who is Moses' audience? Those who left Exodus. And I told you Sabbath, 7 days Sabbath is not God that coined it though. It was actually a culture in Egypt that Moses picked. The culture till today in Egypt, they celebrate Sabbath. It's a day set aside to worship their gods. Hallelujah. So Moses picked 7 days, picked Sabbath. So God will accommodate their culture. He will accommodate their culture. So he picked Sabbath. And now listen to this now. Listen to what I want to say to you. So he was writing to them 7 days, but he now Sabbath. God ended his work. Now when you read Exodus, as we're going to read chapter 20, you discover that he now gives them a law that they should always honor the Sabbath. Stop there. But before the children of Israel, when you go back, all the patriarchs in Genesis, do they have a day called Sabbath day? Do they have a specific day that they say, today is Sabbath day, I'm not going to work? Do they have any day like that? You need to be wise to see. None of them had a specific day. And this is Genesis. So to make you know the concept of days, Moses wasn't writing Sabbath day to be Monday to Sunday, or Monday to Saturday, or Sunday to Saturday. No. Hallelujah. But he uses this to as shadows, as teaching notes, to point them to the Lord's day. Hallelujah. Amen. He said it is the Lord's day. The Lord's day. How we saw all this yesterday. Let's see this. Exodus 20. Let's get to Exodus 20. Look at what he said to them. And this is where I'm going to pick up my teaching from today. Verses 11. He said, in 6 days, he said, the Lord your God made the heavens and the earth and sea, and all that in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, he blessed the seventh, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Did you see that? He said, he blessed the Sabbath day. He rested and blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, he was not writing to another generation that was to go into the land of Canaan in Deuteronomy 5. Let's put Deuteronomy 5, time that time with Exodus 20. And let's see something there. Let's see what he calls the Sabbath day. Hallelujah. Yeah, he reminded them of the Genesis, right? God protect the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Now, in Exodus, in Deuteronomy 5, are you there? Verses 15. It says, and remember that thou was a servant in Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and by an outstretched hand. Therefore the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. You see that? To keep the Sabbath day. So what does it call the Sabbath day? Deliverance. Salvation. Did you see that? Deliverance. So it is the Lord's day. It's the Lord. Look at how Moses separated. He said it is the Lord's Sabbath. This one is the Lord's Sabbath. That is in Exodus. It is the Sabbath of the Lord. Do you get me? The Sabbath of the Lord. Meaning they know other Sabbath, but this one is the Sabbath of the Lord. It's God's own Sabbath. Hallelujah. Amen. So he calls the Sabbath the day of salvation. And the same thing too that Joel was saying. He calls it what? The Lord's coming. He said, in the Lord's coming, Joel 2:12, he said, you will rend your heart and not your garment. Rend your heart, that is to say, is your heart. Hallelujah. So what did God do on the Sabbath in Exodus? He rested on the Sabbath day. Now, why did Moses tell them not to do any work on the Sabbath day? Listen now. I said it yesterday. I'm going to say it again. He told them to do no work on the Sabbath day to make them see that the Sabbath day is actually God's work, not man's work. You see that? It's God's work. God's work is God's path. Hallelujah. Amen. And take note of what Moses said in Exodus. He said he rested on the Sabbath day. So listen, it's God's work, not man's work. And remember, the Sabbath day is not a specific day in the week. The Sabbath day is the Lord's day, which is not supposed to be a day in the week. It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's coming. Jesus will now say, in that day, John 14, which day? That same Sabbath day. That same the Lord's day. Hallelujah. In that day you will know I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Salvation. So the Lord's day is salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord's day is salvation. That is God's Sabbath. Not Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, not Thursday, not Friday, not the Sabbath. But rather, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is in the Lord's Sabbath. Do you see that? For the believer. What are you following me? The Lord's Sabbath is not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is in the Lord's Sabbath. The Lord's Sabbath is not January to December, but January to December will be found in the Lord's Sabbath. What are you following all this? Amen. Amen. So when a man gets born again, he is in the Lord's day. So the Lord's day is eternal life. The Lord's day is eternal life. The Lord's day is, how did I call it yesterday? Yeah, the Lord's day is eternal life. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. So therefore, the believer's whole being, the believer's whole life is in the Lord's day. Hallelujah. So the Lord's Day is not man's work that will be seen, but who? God's work. Hope you're following me. God's work. God's work. Hallelujah. Well, let's see what Moses said in Exodus 20, verse 11. Quickly. Exodus 20, 11. Are you there? He said, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Hallelujah. 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 Let's see a few things. So when you use the word "the Lord rested," so what happens on the Sabbath day? The Lord rested. That's the word. The Lord rested, or the Lord rests on the Sabbath day. That word there, that word used there, is not actually, it's the translators that gave it, whether the past or the present or the future. It's actually a word, nuak. Sorry, nuka, N-U-A-C-H, N is pronounced N-O-O-A-K-H, nuka, rest, to rest, he rested. It has another shade of word again, menuka, you can also have it as menuka. Nuka, menuka. Now that word there is used for where one stays, not actually to sleep, but where one stays to continue his work. Where one stays and carries out his work further. So that means the Lord rested doesn't mean God has ceased work. No, he now carries it out from here. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God didn't cease work. God made you when he was resting. Kind of nonsense talk is that? See, God just sat down when he was already resting. He's not making you. He made you from a point of rest. Yeah. Oh, Lord. This is why we are short, is because God, the psalm was finished. So God just used the last one to make you. We should stop saying nonsense. I don't want to. I'm going to deal with us on this coming year, or we're going to deal with some things. Bible truth. I might look at the book of Romans. Amen. Some deep things. Deep things to some people. There are some very funny things that we say. In some ways, it has affected our things. I was somewhere and people were arguing, serious argument. Recently, they're arguing that we are all sinners because of Adam. I thought I looked at the person. Okay, no, it was with one of my guys. I remember him now. I was somewhere with him and he said, "We are all sinners because of Adam." I said, "Adam." He said, "Because you see, the Bible says, in sin my mother conceived me." He just looked at me. I said, "Let's go back to Romans." I went to Romans. They said, "You see, every man sins. You see, death and So that means, truth, don't preach again. It's like one man, this has happened. Therefore, when Jesus got where salvation came, everybody should just be born again. Automatic. Right?" So stop saying nonsense. So where did sin come? I guess it's time for me to teach you people on the concept of sin. I've said it for too long. Right? I'll teach you. By God's grace, still pray for me that I teach it. But I can't be under pressure. But I will teach it. Amen. It's as if I always give this promise every believer's convention. I will teach it. Amen. So the Sabbath day is God's day. Where God rested. So God rested will be where God continues his work. Hallelujah. So if you have this mindset of what Sabbath is, you will not see why Jesus, all the time the Pharisees accused him that his disciples were doing what was not meant to be done on the Sabbath day, his response to them. Come and read Matthew 12. His response to them. Have you not heard what he decided? Two people that did things that was not lawful to be done on the Sabbath day, showing them that it is not man's work, but God's work. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And ask them the question, say, how many, who of you, that your sheep or your oxen falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, you will not pull him out? That you will not pull it out. Hypocrite. Amen. So it's God's work that is done on the Sabbath day. God is doing his work on the Sabbath day. And then I show you, how does God carry out his work in the earth? How does he carry out his work in the earth today? He carries out his work in the earth today from his rest. Where is his rest? In his day. Who is in his day? We are in his day. How does he carry it out? Through you. Did you see? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So I taught us during the man, the message, and the mandate that God's mandate is in all the earth. And God is going to do it through his church. Why? Because that is his resting place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's carrying out his battle in the earth through his children. Till the whole earth, till the whole earth becomes his resting place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till the whole earth becomes his resting place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what God is. To the whole earth. The whole earth is his resting place. And he's doing it through you and I. John chapter 20. John 20. John 20, 23. Well, verse 22. See, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye forgive, are forgiven. And whosoever ye retain, that retain. Whosoever sins ye forgive. It's only God that forgives sins. But you know what? Jesus said that to his disciples. Because why? God is carrying out his task in the earth through the believers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is not going to use stones, he's going to use you. Hallelujah. To the ends of the earth. So I told us that an activity you will find in the last days will be what? To take of the Spirit within upon. Right? To take of the Spirit within upon. I'm only running up all our touching for this conversion. Now, to take of the Spirit within upon. And I told you, that activity is not for showmanship. No, it's not. But you just sit down and just say, I want to show you I'm a prophet. You know, I've been somewhere before, someone was giving prophet, and I said, I want to show you I'm a prophet. Who is doing that? Hallelujah. So one day, I was invited for a meeting, I was sitting down. But necessary. He just said, I want to just, he just called out some cases of people. And when he came, I said, no, go and sit down. I'm only testing the mic. Testing the mic, I'm just testing the prophetic. Show my shit here. I'm just testing prophetic. Hallelujah. Show my shit. The gift of the Spirit are not for show my shit. It's not. Hallelujah. It is not for show my shit. Can people make it be for show my shit? Yes. But it's not. That's why you have been taught God's word. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. For common good. Our common good. Now we'll be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 You can make it for showmanship. I'm the prophet. I'm the prophet of the land. Showmanship. You're doing the work of God. Amen. Sometimes, so make sure you are not actually doing showmanship. Many times when it comes, I told you, I shared with us in church, that when it comes to revelation gift, many times the details are given to you, not for you to spill it out. Right? Many times you have the details. Sometimes you don't have the details, you have the details. Let me tell you, I'm a prophet. Father, can you, I can see, you can see what? Keep quiet. Sometimes the details are given to you, it's not for you to show. Not for you to say that, it's for you to now find out what is the instruction. Amen. Amen. Just give out the instruction, leave the details. Not for you to start talking. You put your left hand into your pocket. I see a passport. You want a passport? Stop that. Hallelujah. Prophet. Man of God. No. Hallelujah. You remember that? Not for sure, not sure. So, we said that look at what happened in Acts 2. After that experience, 3,000 people were saved. So that means the taking of the things of the Spirit, everything that is done in the Lord's day, which involves also the activity, is for what? It's for what? God's tax in the earth. You see that? God's tax in all of the earth. You see that? Amen. It's towards God's tax in the earth. 3,000 were saved. In Acts of Apostles chapter 4, they were filled with boldness that spoke the word of God with boldness. You see that? I mean, they were full of the, they were filled with the Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Acts 13, they had the same Holy Ghost, you see, and then they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost and they went to Susia. You see that? So, it's towards God's tax in the earth. The rejoicing, the hands being laid, is to stir up God's fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Towards God's tax in all of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in this session, how is that going to be easy on us? Quickly. So let me quickly shorten the next session. How is that going to be easy on us? Hallelujah. Romans 1:11, quickly. So we said the things of the Spirit are to what? I mean, the things of the activities. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is towards God's tax, to stir up God's tax. Or the, I mean, it's to stir us up towards God's tax in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, verse 11, Romans 1, 11. It says, for I want to see that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end that ye may be what? Established. Did you see that? I long to see. I long to see. So that means that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts. So therefore, when hands are laid, there's the communication of the things of the Spirit. The communication of the things of the Spirit are received. Amen. You see, when hands are laid, it's not to let me now debunk this. There's nothing to say that they rent in God's park and moon in your head that will be taken away. That is nonsense. I don't know who brought out all those nonsense. I know things have been on for a while. The confession, there's a confession tape. There could be a time like that. Let me share with us. There used to be a time like that where there were people go and buy confession tape. The people that are doing the confession are making money. You are making money from your head. You are buying the tape. They need to make money. Say, I used to be in a coptic kingdom. We used to take staff. Not only staff. It's a replay. You take staff. I don't want to listen. Don't get in the rich. Have you heard from them again? People you don't know. You don't know their name. And it's always down those confession is usually happening in Delta. Along Delta Warri Road. Let's hear the one that happens that we know the church in Lagos. Don't now bring it around come and tell it in Lagos. I can't fall for those traps now. You will not see that. They said, are you, you know, what's the difference between you and Job? By the hearing of ear. How do you know they need to take staff when they tell them that somebody confessed? They are not aware. Somebody confessed. Nobody confessed. I can just say, Let's go and do confession. Let's do our own confession thing. You know, calculate. This regime. If we do confession thing, we do the thing. Some people don't know how people's mind work. Some people don't care because of money. They will tell you, I was driving one day, I'll share this with you. I was driving one day, and I was listening to a radio station. In the meantime, somebody now called. But help me, my wife is dying. People, Nigeria, Jesus, help me, Jesus, and Jesus is dying. People started calling in after that they want to help. The pastor was leading the. I'm telling you how somebody he lied at the back. When he went on the line, I was pained. He needed one. The person that was anchoring the TV store now said, you know what? Before you pay in any money, I want to call somebody that was paying. And you know the place we called in Lagos? You'll be shocked. Oh, Coco. You know? That is towards the end of the year. He said, you have somebody that is there. I want to call the person. So he called the person. They went to search that hospital. That hospital does not exist. So the person said that is his street. There's nothing like that. I don't want to scam people. I want to scam the whole Lagos on a Monday morning. And the way he lied, that his wife was at the point of death. Baba. Somebody will now do one confession tape. You now all your life, all your Christian life is on confession tape. Everything you know about God is on confession tape. That was not only no it's about hands of God, the person now deliver. Nonsense. There's nothing called spar on your head, spar on your head. No, what is that? Did you see it in the Bible? Nonsense. Then one time I wanted to lay some hands on someone. I said, sir, please don't touch my head. I said, why? He said, because of my style. I just left him. I'm not going to touch you at all. You, style. I just looked at him. Back off. Saw me. Amen. Let's see the laying on of hands. The fact that somebody said nonsense doesn't mean they will stop laying hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. You know, you this. Sorry, sir. Okay, so I said this too often that there's a ministry called laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. Paul would tell Timothy. In 2 Timothy, okay, let's look at 1 Timothy 4 first. Verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. This is about which was given thee by prophecy and by the laying up of the hands of the presbytery. Remember that? So there is the ministry of the laying on of the hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ministry of laying on of hands is so the hands that will get better. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Okay. Verse 6. It's a wherefore. I put thee to remembrance. It's reminding me. I put thee to remember that thou stole of the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You see that? So where hands are laid, the gift of the spirits are transferred. So the things, listen. There's such a thing as the power of God, the transfer of the power of God. The power of God is transferable. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The power of God is transparent. Many times, when it comes to laying on of hands, you can lay hands. Right? Right? Hands. Sometimes it can just be cures. The Bible spoke about the woman with the issue of blood. That Jesus was walking and then she came to touch the hem of his garment. That was hands laying. And she was healed. There's a trust. Jesus said, virtue left me, power left me. There's something called a transfer of power. I've listened to Brother Hagin. And he said something. He said, just being around sometimes. Nothing necessarily you have to put your hands on a person. Just being around and walking by, that hands can be laid that way. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit are communicable. It can be communicated. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit can be communicated. You get better. You get better. Hallelujah. Some of us saw what happened last night, right? Hallelujah. That community. For pastors that are here, learn to lay hands more in the community. Amen. All your PCU meetings from now to December, make sure after, whether it's prayer meeting, any meeting you have, learn to lay hands up. Amen.
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 Amen. You want your members, your people to get better? In the work of ministry, lay hands more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the coming year, there's no room for complacency. There's no room to allow anyone flow into the flesh. Hallelujah. Always lay hands. Teaching meeting, I've got to lay hands. Hallelujah. Everyone is charged in every meeting. Glory to God. Because why? The things of the Spirit are communicated so that God's work in the earth will be done. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Oh, glory to God. The one who sent us Paul and Barnabas. He said, verse 2, and as they ministered and pastored, the Holy Ghost said, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work for which I have called them. And when they had pastored and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. They laid their hands on them. That didn't say, God has spoken, oh yeah, start going. No, they laid hands with him. Hallelujah. They laid hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know that laying on of hands, when you guys are holding hands, you know it's laying on of hands.
Yes, sir.
Maybe that's the reason why you did take it serious. Hold hands again. You guys are laying hands. When you hold hands together with brothers, you must be conscious of that. You are laying hold hands again. Hallelujah. You're laying hands. The things of the Spirit can be communicated. Can be communicated by just holding hands. Hallelujah. You see a brother who is now drawing into the flesh, lay hands. Hallelujah. Lay hands. Glory to God. Lay hands. Always believe in laying on hands. Glory to God. Amen. When you go to hug someone, that is laying on hands. That's what it is. Lay hands. You have to do it more. Let me do it more. You communicate the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So, in the next section, as we go, in the next section, we're going to have hands laid on us as a church. So, I would expect that pastors will stay closer to your brethren. You know, we said there is the grace of God in this meeting. For multiplicity in our work, for revival in our work. And I said, you are coming here not just on your own, you are coming here with the people that God has called you to, and the thousands and thousands and tens and thousands of men, and the Lord will yet lead you to. Hallelujah. We are daring them all. We are receiving for the years to come. Hallelujah. You are receiving. But as you go back, go back. Make sure you do more laying on of hands. Over here, amen. For those of us who will be going back, for having PCA read on Tuesday, you have to do the same thing.
Hallelujah. You are going to Lasso, you lay hands as you get back. You are going to Kaduna, you lay hands as you get back.
Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit
have come. Do it more of the Spirit. Do it more of the Spirit.